And then lastly, we've kind of already talked about predictors of immunotherapy. In breast cancer, we're certainly no better than anybody else, probably worse in identifying predictors of benefit. But it's worth talking about PD-L1 itself, because in breast cancer, the one indication for immunotherapy is in the first-line triple-negative setting, and that was determined by this trial called IMpassion130, which looked at newly diagnosed triple-negative patients with metastatic disease and randomized them to nab-paclitaxel with or without the PD-L1 inhibitor atezolizumab. And what they found was that the overall, this is the latest updated survival data, and what they found was that in those patients who were PD-L1 positive, there was a substantial survival benefit. And based on these data, the drug has recently been approved in the PD-L1 positive population. So knowing that, we need to decide whether we're testing PD-L1 optimally or not. So there are two commonly used PD-L1 tests in the clinical practice. One is 22C3 and the other SP142, which is what was developed in this trial on the Ventana platform. And you know, the question is one of these better at this purpose of identifying patients who are most likely to benefit from a PD-L1 inhibitor? And I think there was some really interesting data at ESMO from Hope Rugo, and they basically looked retrospectively in a purely post-hoc, non-planned analysis at the samples from IMpassion130, the trial I just mentioned. SP142 detects a substantially smaller percentage of patients as being PD-L1 positive than 22C3, and that's because both antibodies detect about 45% as positive, but 22C3 detects an additional 35% or so of tumors. So it appears that 22C3 is, quote unquote, more sensitive. But what really matters is how well does it predict benefit? And that's where these data are really helpful. So they looked at how the different subgroups defined by these antibodies benefited from the drug. Patients whose tumors were positive by both assays, a clear benefit, a hazard ratio of about 0.6 for benefit of atezolizumab. But in the second row are those that are only 22C3 positive, so that extra 35% that antibody's picking up that SP142 doesn't pick up, there you really lose most of the signal for atezolizumab benefit, and no benefit if you're negative for both antibodies. So this really would suggest, at least from the data we have from IMpassion130 and atezolizumab, that probably SP142 is the best antibody to be using right now. But I think clearly there's room for us to improve, and I would love to hear my colleagues who use immunotherapies much more than us humble breast cancer doctors do, if you have comments about that.
It's really interesting. So many times it depends on the cutoff. You know, like in gastric cancers, it's funny, I get so frustrated because I'll order a PD-L1 IHC and I'll get the results and it'll just say CPS greater than or equal to 1. And I'm like, actually, I sort of care about 1, but I really care about 10. And they're not reporting it out. And so it's interesting, and I'm sure they'll present data on this as well with the SP142, is that as a percentage rises, do you split the curves further, and what's your cutoff, and does that make more of a difference?
Wasn't there a difference too in that study, depending on where the PD-L1 was expressed, if it was expressed on the tumor cells or if it was expressed on the infiltrating lymphocytes?
So with SP1, it's a good question. There's another data set that with SP142, essentially all the cancers that are positive in the tumor are also positive in the stroma. And so you don't pick up any additional tumors by looking specifically at the tumor cells themselves. Most of the positive cancers are in the stroma. And then there's a few percent that are also, 9%, I think, that are also in the tumors. But it's almost 100% overlap. I don't know what the data are from the other tumor types about how that works. So it doesn't look like that is going to help.
I see. Okay.
And there's been so much question about correlation with PD-L1 levels, but also tumor mutational burden. Did they show data there?
As far as they haven't reported TMB, I don't think they reported TMB in IMpassion130. We're waiting for like a full correlative analysis presentation. They haven't given that yet. It's basically just been mostly the clinical data.